and learned, but
you talked about,
I think they would have killed it here.
You talked about being on probation a couple years down the road, and I think a lot of people share that thought. But here's my thing: if you just all the wrongdoings that maybe were going on, all you have to do, caller, is just put it under the label of a fake major or a fake class, and you're not going to get punished or anything.
You're not going to beat Alabama doing it clean, period. You're not.
Gary Parrish, I believe, sent out a tweet this week that suggested that everybody should have their boosters walk around campus, and as long as they give a couple dollar bills to a general student,
yep,
he can give all they want to any football player or basketball player.
It's a great loophole.
It's a great loophole, yeah.
And I'll tell you something.
Another thing? Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, no.
No, honestly, I think one of the reasons they didn't touch North Carolina, that the SEC commissioner is the head of that committee, the last thing he wants is people to start sniffing around here. And when I say here, I mean the SEC. I think that's one of the reasons North Carolina got off.
That's the first thing I want. I want Alabama back on probation like the old days.
Yeah, but I think that he was protecting his own backside.
Sure he was.
Do you think he's fired by Monday or no?
This guy? No. Listen, Mark, we have no balls here. Let's just call it what it is.
Who do you make? I mean, if he is fired, who do you make the interim coach?
I would make the interim coach maybe Larry Scott. Be a nice looking
coach. His Miami kids play hard for him in that bowl game, if I remember right, when he was the interim down there.
I would make Larry Scott the interim because it's a nice look for the program, and he's a good dude. Jerry, you like that? You like Larry Scott? Jerry, you had kind of reaction to that, a visceral reaction.
No, I'm going with the defensive guy all the way. I mean, that's a one bright spot of this team since the Florida game. To me, you have to, if you're going to do an interim deal, he's the one that has to finish the season.
Would you be open to this? And this is crazy. I'm not sure I'm open to it. You hire Cutcliffe for 2 years, make T. Martin coach in waiting, let him do the
recruiting. T. Martin
if
would.
If all else fails.
He wouldn't do that. And David Cutcliffe wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
But it's nice to move pieces. I mean, in a perfect world, you could maybe do that. But yeah, that's not going to happen.
Well, can't wait for Alabama next week. That's going to be just a. Would anybody even go down there and travel for that game?
You know what I'm going to do, Mark, in the interim? I'm going to download the scanner app, and if any good car wrecks happen around my house, I'm going to hurry out the door and get a good look at them. I mean, geez Louise, you know? How can anybody look forward to that? And that's what it's come
to. They're already up 17-0 on Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
And not even really trying.
We're going to have a listener watch party next week, and I'm going to have a ball board for it and give out some cash. I'm going to figure out some great ways to attract people.
I'm dead serious when I say that I think Alabama's getting ready to get two coaches in 2 weeks fired.
Oh, they are.
But here's my thing. On the record, you're on here, you got listeners, thousands. If Butch gets canned, will you do a second or version two of the pyramid of blame?
I'm already doing it.
Can we get that?
I got the pyramid of excuses already coming. I mean, the pyramid of cliches. I'm dropping it on Tuesday.
The one thing I do want is for some of the media in the Knoxville market to step up and apologize for defending this guy all year and last year as well.
Good luck getting an apology. Good luck.
Him and Griff.
Those two guys right there tonight. Butch is probably soaking his body over there in the hot tub. Each guy has a straw on either side, sucking with all their life. Thank you. Good talking to you.
Thank you, brother.
And I mean with all, if their lives depended on it. Let's get our next call in. Did you hear that? Jerry, I got a lot of breath. You hear that, Jerry?
I hear you, Wolverine.
You don't.
Wolverine.
Let's get it. Yes?
Talking about blame, it was just real interesting to see if the offense progressed, see if they try to change things. And it's just what I saw early on was just it was just so symbolic of where the season has gone. Tony, we tried to go with the quarterback under center. in the first quarter, within a 10-yard line, Garantano on a power play. They pull the guard. They bring him around. The back's coming downhill, I think, in the 2 or 4 hole. Tony, the quarterback went the wrong damn way. Like, does that not tell you? Does that not tell you, like, just what's happened to our season? And it's, you're just going, wow, just we're not there to just as an offensive football team, especially. Just so many little things like that. You know, we talk about the Florida game. You know, you hit the throw to Callaway. He gets it down on the half yard line, first and 10. What do? We throw the ball 3 times. We try to do some weird off-ball things with, 2 freshman wide receivers. Tony, we get the ball, again today, to tie the game up. And what do? 4 straight passes. Man, do we not learn from the mistakes of the prior games? It just seems like they have a system and they're sticking with it instead of going, hey, like, that didn't work. Next game, scrap that. Throw that in the black hole of football. I don't ever want to see that again from you, Larry Scott. Call something else.
No, that doesn't happen here. Let's go to our next phone. Let's go to our next call. As I got the great Jerry Colquitt on the line for FEMA Quadrant 10. And for those of you that follow wrestling, there's a gentleman on the Periscope feed who just said that Butch reminds him of a mini Brock Lesnar. And he doesn't like a mini Brock Lesnar. He's got that red face. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Is it me?
It is you.
Whoa.
Coach Lesnar.
Hey,
what's
that? That's
a new name.
Coach Lesnar is a great name.
Oh, my gosh. That's great. Man, I like to see Butch Jones drop a people's elbow on somebody. That'd be funny. Tony, you're there?
I am here.
Tony, this is Vess up in St. Louis, brother. How are you?
Hey, great to talk to you, man.
Great to talk to you as well. Jerry Colquitt, how are you? Great to talk to you.
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm bowing my he right now. Tony, you're not serious about Lane Kiffin. You're not. That's not real.
I'm 100% serious. Yeah, I've been beaten down.
You know he's a clown.
Well, no, he's a complete. Hang on, he's a complete clown. But you got to understand something, dude. My sausage is in 1,000 pieces right now. And Butch Jones is the reason.
Oh, you see what he's done to us? We're talking about bringing Lane Kiffin back. Like, this is terrible. This is awful, man.
Well, I'll tell you what. Lane Kiffin might end up being better than – it's okay, Al. I'll do it in a second. Lane Kiffin might end up being better than who we end up hiring. That's just my point.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. No, I totally get that. And that's what's going to happen. I forgot Superstar Alex. You're there, too. Bow
the
my
soup.
Knee.
The superstars here, Ewan's
yeah.
here, and
you,
I didn't.
Tony, you got the guys you're bringing in, man. You're just bringing in bangers, man. You're just bringing in complete superstars all around.
I am a banger. This is what we
yeah.
do here.
You're
this
a banger
is how we
yourself.
Hang. We hang and bang, man. NBA season yeah. starts Wednesday. Bangers, welcome.
That's right. But man, I don't blame you one bit for getting on here, and you said it during the midweek show that you know what. If we blow this hire again, or heaven forbid we keep this guy again, I'm out. I'm finding something else to do. I don't blame you. And, you know, for me, I'm like, I think probably 99% of Tennessee fans, like, this is my life, man. Like, this is I can't imagine another fan base outside of this conference being so invested emotionally and financially and everything. You know, I live 9 hours away. I make it down to at least two games a year. But I haven't been down this year. And you know what? If they screw this up again, I'm going to become a casual fan. UT is the only, I am pure orange. Okay. I'm not going out and I'm not finding another team. I'm not doing any of that. This is my team. But I'm going to become a pretty casual fan. I'm going to tell you that. My dad was over here today, and he's from Knoxville. He's from where you're from, kind of. I'm not too familiar with the area, but he's from the Halls area. And, man, he's the same way. He grew up there, and he just said, man, I just can't do this anymore. It's just so sad what's become of us. And I'm rambling. I'm really rambling at this point.
No, you're really not, because the guy just had a great idea for the Alabama game, and this is what it's come to, because I've been trying to figure out ways to attract people to our listener watch party that's going to be held at Bearden Hill Fieldhouse.
Uh-huh.
And a guy said that what we're going to do is what Taco Bell needs to do is a free bean burrito for everybody if Tennessee scores a touchdown next week. Like, one of these chains needs to have an announcement that if Tennessee – go ahead, Eric.
You could promise to put on every game except that one.
No, I'm not doing that. We got to have a ball board. We got to have gambling, touches. I need some degenerates to email me.
You could do play-by-play of an imaginary game.
I am right now.
You know, you the one where we're competitive.
No. Here
I'm appealing.
Have you ever watched?
I'm on. I'll be your color guy.
Do you guys?
Well, that looks like a nice play, Tony.
Hey, I'm appealing.
They really opened that one up.
Go ahead.
Hey, I do some play-by-play and some color on some other days of the week. You guys remember?
Why do you always say color?
Color commentary.
All right.
You guys remember that show? I think it was on Spike. Decade and a half ago, called Most Extreme Elimination Challenge.
Oh, of course.
Where they dubbed it. What if we watched the UT football game and it's just a comedy of errors? We just did what we thought was going on.
Dude, I have to have a watch party. You're not helping me.
We can do it live.
Why did you get an MXC? No, I got to be at a watch party at Bearden Hill.
You'll
Field
be watching
House.
Something.
You just put the microphone in the speaker.
I need degenerates. And Jerry, why does he keep saying color?
Said it again, Stallion.
Alex said he does color for what is it?
For the broadcasts, not the play-by-play, the color commentary
for
the Oak Ridge.
Oak Ridge.
When the great DC Cat voice is around, David Clary.
I don't know what that means. Color.
Oh yeah, my boy. Yeah. I saw him at. My mom, Ava, and I, we saw him at Billy's Pie Deli when I was home in August last
And time. Caller, you think you're rambling. Go ahead, finish up.
So we're USC. We're UCF now, where they're handing out free beers until they win the damn ball game.
Correct.
Oh, man.
Correct.
Lordy. Hey, I've been kind of in and out. I was going to break down a play at the end of the game, but
Break a play down. Break a play down. Bring some, if you can, put some meat on my sausage.
Oh. All right. So, and I'm by no means an expert. I'm an armchair. Whatever. Okay. I'm just going to get into it. Don't be so self-conscious. Here we go. At the end of that game, when we get down there to the gates of hell, which is the red zone for us. And we get down there and it's 19 seconds to go, right? And we get that first down. Am I crazy for thinking, get up there and spike that thing as soon as possible? Why are you trying to sit there and look at, why are we trying to get a play in from the sideline? And we burned like 8-9 seconds just trying to get a play in.
It was such.
We don't need those. We don't need all those downs. There's 19 seconds left. Am I wild for saying that?
I'll tell you this right now, Butchie, they botch all those things. That whole thing there. It's so true. Tommy Tuberville said it's inexcusable to not spike the ball there. You've got a freshman quarterback.
Okay.
You guide him. You get him under center. At that point, you spike the ball, you get him back over there to the huddle, and you say, slow down. Everything slowed down here. Slow down, slow down, slow down.
You'd have thought we just got a first down, like, on our own 40-yard
line,
and there was 30 seconds to go.
Right.
You know?
And it was flying around. Yeah, thanks for the call, man.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for saying. You know what, Tony? Thank you for everything you do, man. You know, these calls or these shows and how long you go and everyone you bring on, man, it's just, I can't speak to you enough to how great it is for all of us. So I really appreciate you. All right. You have a good night.
Good talking to you, and thanks for the kind words. Jerry, obviously you spiked the ball there, right, and slowed the game down?
Yeah, and that's the part about not huddling up sometimes to me. That's bothersome because sometimes, say, for instance, like on the Florida game, okay, you get the pass to Callaway, you get down on the half-yard line. I think we run one play with Dormady, and then that's where he gets nicked up. He has to come out the game, and then Garantano comes in the game. Wouldn't you like that quarterback to look those guys in the eye? And sometimes, Tony, down there, those plays inside the five, those are plays that you'll never run in any other part of the field. And when you're in the huddle, those are times when you can tell the guy, hey, make sure you stick the guy inside before you cut to the pylon. Little things like that, which you don't get a chance to do, just where everything seems to be some sort of fire drill. It's tough, man. How long have we been talking about this since the Oregon game?
Yeah, it's never, and that's the thing about it. At this point, it's just never. It's never going to end. You know, it's never going to end. Eric knows it because he watched him at Cincinnati. And the guy's,
I've been going through this for 8 years now.
Yeah, the guy's a game bungler.
And Tony, who was the guy for Oregon that plays for the Chiefs? He wore number 6. He was kind of like their slot wide receiver. He played a little bit of running back. They drafted him pretty high as a kick returner. Who was that guy's name? It wasn't like Michael James. He played on that first Butch Jones team that went to Oregon. But
Pig Howard you're talking about?
No. Who was the player for Oregon that wore number 6?
Jerry, I couldn't tell you what I had for damn breakfast this morning.
DeAnthony Thomas, right?
Who?
DeAnthony Thomas, maybe?
Yes. Yes.
How did you get that, Al?
I think he played for the Chiefs for a couple of years. He was
That's
a
what
star.
He said. DeAnthony Thomas.
He was a star in college.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Like, Alex, by the way.
They had Jeremiah Masoli. Oregon had a lot of big names for about a decade.
Jeremiah Masoli, another Italian quarterback?
Nah, he's the guy who transferred. He got kicked off the team or something. He ended up playing at Ole Miss.
He's Italian, right?
I don't know.
Like Garantano? Jerry, Garantano runs like an Italian guy.
Man, he lacks suddenness.
Wow.
You know, usually guys that can throw the ball pretty well, you know, you like it when they have some escapability. And not that they have to necessarily be fast, but man, just some suddenness, a little flavor, to give a guy a little something, leave him standing so that you can, you know, buy some room and time, you know, just to get on the edge so you can either throw it away or run it to the sideline. I just didn't see that today. But Alex, back to your point, it's stuff like, okay, you know, you're playing DeAnthony Thomas. So why are you constantly hurrying up, maybe not moving the ball downfield, and you are just punting the ball right to the guy who I think at that point, Tony, he might have had one of the highest averages for punt returns and kickoff returns. So it's stuff like that, just that you see where you're going. Is this guy at the same guy game that I'm watching? Kind of a thing that sometimes it just doesn't make sense with this approach towards football.
No, and this next guy better not have this approach to football, or I'm not going to have this approach because I'm getting out of here. 865, and I mean that. If Butch Jones comes back next year, I'm leaving. 865-200-5402. Alex, do you think I'm kidding?
No.
I am not kidding.
No, I mean, to Jerry's point, it's almost like, why do you have to make football? There are complications to it, absolutely. There's a certain level of football knowledge. You hear it when Jerry talks, you know, that separate the guys that really, really know it well from the average fan, from the people that know it pretty well, et cetera. But in its core, football is a very simple game, and you can simplify it and make it easier on yourself. And it's like some of these coaches nowadays, Butch included, it's like you have to overcomplicate it. And it can't be simpler than the fans. You know, if it's something that the fans can see, that can't be what it is. It's got to be more complicated than that. You have to outsmart common sense. And I don't understand why that's the case.
They could not wait to throw that trick play down there on the goal line today. They're just driving the ball. And I just jumped off the – I just said to myself, self, this is almost over, self. This little experiment with this young-looking guy who's called Butch, who looks like Sergeant, young Brock, this is almost over. Let's get our next call in. I would love somebody to create a meme where Brock Lesnar does his finish move on this guy.
The F5?
The F5. This guy needs an F5, an F4, an F3, and an F2.
The way we're playing, we're about to be an FCS.
Let's get our next call in, no question. Hello to our next caller.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, welcome in.
Greg down in Columbia, Tennessee. How you doing, brother?
Hey, buddy, welcome in.
Thank you very much. First of all, what the hell about these Florida uniforms? I ain't never. Ugliest thing I've ever seen.
I'm convinced that these shoe companies, if they told these athletic directors who they just pimp money to, we are going to roll, and I mean roll feces all over your players, they would say, good, let's do that. I don't think this thing ends anywhere, guys. I don't think there's... That what Florida's doing tonight, and they don't have nice looking uniforms, but our desecration, and they're calling them swamp green, is what they're calling that color, swamp green, so they can tie it to Florida, kind of like our fake smoky gray. Let's our next football coach worry about coaching football, not third down chance, not alternative uniforms. Here's a concept. Worry about coaching football and having watchable football.
Amen on that. They want to mention as well, didn't score against Georgia in the end zone, didn't score today against South Carolina. And do we play Missouri? They just tied Georgia on a long touchdown pass.
Yeah, Jerry has that down as a win.
That's unbelievable. I don't know about that. But anyway, we've talked before. I know you guys have said a lot of things that we all are thinking. Some that haven't gotten in yet on the phone. But once again, on the 2-yard line, where's Kelly? Nowhere to be found. Didn't touch the ball down there. I don't understand. I don't get that. I know Kelly could get behind one of those big linemen and go in the end zone for 2 yards. I know that would have been a win, in my opinion, if Kelly had the chance to shine there. I don't know. Did he get hurt later in the game? I don't know.
Nobody got hurt in that game, did they, Eric?
Not that I saw.
No.
That's the only time, really, in all the complaints we've had about Butch and this offense over the years, being at the goal line, not running the ball, that's the only time where I'm like, I understand. Because you didn't have a timeout, and you're not going to go under center. And if you, for whatever reason, don't get the 2 or 3 yards you needed, you're not going to get another play. That's the only time.
But
typically,
you know what,
I'd say you got to run it.
They threw an incomplete pass that somehow didn't run the 4 seconds off the clock.
I don't know how that happened.
1 second left.
And you were lucky to have it.
You're lucky to have it.
Take your crack.
Take your crack.
The ball. That's what you do.
At that point, because you're not trying to get another play. There's no more plays left.
But here's the problem.
Whatever your best play is, run it.
But here's the problem with you guys. You're having this argument in logic. and seriously, what Butch Jones does at the end of a football game just doesn't have anything to do with logic. And Jerry, don't you run that ball at the end of the game right there? Don't you put the game in Kelly's hands rather than
give it to your best player.
Because that poor quarterback, he wanted to be anywhere but there in that spot.
Tony, once again, think about it. Tony, we should have won that Florida game if you just keep the game in front of you. Don't try to do anything weird or different. Just call plays and approach this game like you normally would. Tony, did they learn their lesson? Did they learn a lesson? And to me, that's the most disappointing part. You lost probably, what, for the Tennessee fans especially. That Florida game, aside from Bama, is the biggest game of the year. We lost that because we were just hard-headed down in the red zone inside the 10. So if you learn nothing else from that game going forward, when you get in that next situation, when you have the next opportunity, run John Kelly four times. I don't care if they stop us. If they can stop John Kelly four times, then everybody is going to look the opponent in the face and go, hey, they were just a better team than us. So for them not to give our best offensive player, not to give him four opportunities to stick that thing in the end zone after, the result of what we had in the Florida game especially, that's just disappointing because it feels like we're not learning from our mistakes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, but didn't Muschamp call a timeout with the 1 second on the clock? Now, the clock was already stopped, but he called a timeout. And if you think, like Tony said, you got to run your best play. If you've got to have a scenario, even if it's a similar play as if you got to have a two-point conversion, there's got to be a play where if you're in that situation, this is what we're going to go to. Surely, during that timeout, you could have figured that play out. And I don't know that it would have been that rollout to the right with your freshman quarterback making his first start.
Do they practice?
Well, they can do math problems, as you told me.
I have to admit, you run whatever your best play is. I can't imagine that was the best play that we've got.
Yeah, that's my point.
The other thing is,
that
if you're trying
even
to
close
yeah,
to a touch, I mean, that well, wasn't even. It might as well have been 100 yards.
And there's
away.
One guy that's out that direction.
It was so bad on so many
levels. He had no real options.
But that was symptomatic of the Butch Jones era, because that game was, it was dumb, it was stupid, it was unwatchable.
And we felt just
and it was almost
that much short.
Yep.
Yeah. And Larry Scott, the offense coordinator, is a guy who was a tight ends coach, and tight end had zero catches today.
Guys, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Don't you think with the actions of the coaches, if they don't fire the coaches for anything else, fire them for ruining these kids' psyche? What do you think it does to John Kelly when he's thinking they don't have the confidence in me to get 2 yards when he struggled and fought every time he ran the ball today? That really pisses me off more than anything. They are ruining the players that they are getting, these top star players. And by golly, Mr. Curry, get off your damn seat and get this done. Get him out of here.
It's not his call.
While we got a chance to save it.
I like John. Thank you for the call. We keep it real on here. It's the Haslam's call. It's not John's call. And he'll go when the Haslam's say it's time, that they've had enough. Unfortunately, they have bigger fish to fry, or shall I say, bigger sausages to burn, and those are in Cleveland, where they've taken that organization that had a 7 wins before Jimmy got there and just totally destroyed it. That thing is destroyed. The deal with the receivers coach, Travis, what's the deal with the receiver? He's really bad.
He wears cleats when he coaches, though.
He's awful.
Do you remember when everybody was all hyped up because of that?
Jerry, oh, these...
But he gets
here,
right out there on the field with him and wears cleats.
He's awful. Jerry, have you heard good things about our receivers coach behind the scenes from people?
Kevin Beard?
Yes, the bearded one.
It's interesting because when I was a graduate assistant working with the great David Blackburn in a recruiting office as a graduate assistant, Tony, we recruited Kevin Beard, I think, as a prospect out of Alabama. He was Florida. No, he was Florida. He was a kid that played, if I remember right, he was a option quarterback who you knew he wouldn't be playing quarterback at the collegiate level, but he was just an athlete. He had a high average per touch yardage, and so just to see his guys now, it doesn't even look, you would think that a guy of his caliber, especially in college and coming out of high school, you would think his guys would be playing better football than what they have this season.
Jay Daddy thought you were about to give him a game ball. Let's go back to our phones and get our next call in. Hello. Jerry had these arbitrary game balls about 45 minutes ago. He's never had it, never given a game ball out. But let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. This is Mike from Tools Bend Road. How you boys doing tonight?
Hey, Mike from Tools Bend Road. Welcome in.
Y'all ever been down Tools Bend Road?
I've never been down Tools Bend Road, Mike.
There's some really good-looking women down Tools Bend Road. Some pretty big boats down Tools Bend Road, too.
All right, so what's on your mind tonight, Mike?
Hey, Bozo, are you on the lane train with me?
I'm so desperate right now that I'm entertaining your phone call, and I'm entertaining the prospects of Lane Kiffin. I'm not on the lane train.
Hey, great talk to you, Jerry. I'm checking y'all out on Periscope tonight. Hey, Tony, got a question or two for you here. You know, you had Lane on your show a few years back, and he said he regretted leaving Tennessee, and all you did was take about 100 personal cheap shots at him. Do you want to go ahead and apologize to Lane? He's off this week. He might be watching this Periscope, too. You want to apologize to Lane for all the cheap shots you took at him?
Sure, I'd be glad to.
Do it right now for the whole world
Lane,
to see.
Lane, you're number one. Sorry you left us.
Hey, what about all those cheap shots about all those women you said he was screwing?
Oh, that was all true, and he knows it's true.
So why don't you apologize to him?
Why would I apologize to him?
If you're going to take a cheap shot at a man, do it to his face.
It's all true. Everything I said.
Were you in the bed with him? He's single these days, by the way.
No, I was talking about when he was here.
You want him back, but you took all these
juvenile sophomore cheap shots at him. No. You see, like a lot of things with you, you don't understand context.
No, I'm just keeping you accurate, like Steve Russell.
Well, it's time
to eat some lunch and talk some sports, homie.
Let's talk about Steve Russell. Let me throw this at you. I said I'm so desperate that I would entertain the idea of Lane Kiffin coming back. I never said I wanted Lane
Kiffin. Why don't you have him on your show? Why don't you invite him on your show?
Why? He's a coach at – where is he?
You want to take personal shots at him behind his back.
Okay.
Why don't you bring him on Big Boy and talk to him?
And you remain banned. Let's go back to our phones. I don't know what you're talking about. But you are a clown. But we tried, right? I mean, I tried with you. Small idiot. Let's go. Goodbye, small idiot. Jerry, does he get a game ball?
Cattleman?
Yes.
Yeah, for getting in here.
Let's get our next Dino Babers
that was brilliant.
Just popped up on Periscope.
What's up, man? No, on Dino Babers.
No, wait, that's the problem with this whole, let's hire a guy who just won four games.
Yeah, no. Dino Babers, and I love my alma mater, but Dino Babers just lost to an MTSU team who the last I checked was down in the first quarter to UAB. And, you know, no. Don't give me that. Don't do that to me.
I mean, small mind, you had 5 years to think of something, and that's what you called? You want me to apologize to Lane?
Can you hear me?
You want me to apologize? Yeah, go ahead, caller.
Hey. It's Lee W. from La Follette.
Hey, Lee W. in La Follette.
La Follette.
What's up, boy?
What's up, my man?
Hey, don't hold it against me that Keith Hatfield is my buddy. But anyway, at the last play there, were you not – I've never felt so sad and indifferent in my life. I wanted us to win, but then in the back of my mind, I didn't want us to win. I don't want to hear that, TB. I don't want to feel that way anymore. It's terrible.
It's a terrible feeling. It's terrible when they put you on in that position, Lee. And I appreciate you admitting that. Barney Boy admitted that earlier. Other callers feel the same way and yet haven't admitted it. But it's what they've done to us. They have ground us down and beaten us down, and the expectation is so low of UT's administration and boosters through the years that people wanted to see that guy fall off the cliff today to know that he was gone.
Yeah.
And that's true. And that's true. And that's a sad thing, man.
It is. I mean, it's really sad. I mean, this is my escape. Just like it is yours. I got, you know, I mean, there's real life out here. And then I got to look at that. It's not fun,
brother. It is not fun. That's a great way of putting it. And this is supposed to be fun. You know what my favorite call-in shows are after those great wins? You know how many of them we've had this year? How about none?
Yeah, how about zero?
I'm so tired of this football season already, I can't even see straight. And I love college football.
I do, too. We've not, on a gambling front, I mean, I've not bet us, thank God. We've not pulled the line yet.
Wow. Have we not?
Nope.
Wow. Wow.
TB, I love what you do. I love what you do with Fish. I love Mike Carver. I love everybody. I've been listening for years, man. I've just never called in. I appreciate what you do for us, but this is hurtful. I mean, this is enough to make me want to not be a Vol fan. I'm that close.
That's not, no, you're not.
Well, I'm pretty close.
No, but they're losing a generation of kids. There's no doubt about that. Because you can't be that bad for two decades and have kids grow, all those kids grow up around you, and this thing having sucked. It just, that ain't going to work. So, thank you, my man. Good talking to you.
Tell Sharky I said, hey, be good, man.
All right, C-3PO Sharky. But, Lee, come on back. We need you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're fine. I was just going to say, you have all these people on Periscope talking about Kiffin had Bama beat, and he did. But you can't be hypocritical and talk about Butch blowing games, and well, we're so close in Oklahoma, we can't get it done. We're so close to Florida, can't get it done. We had him at the 2-yard line today, can't get it done. But then praise Kiffin for having Bama beat, and they lost just because it was a close game. You can't have it both ways, in my opinion. You know?
You're right. You're right. My party was anti-bourgeoisie. Somebody was wondering. But Jerry, I ran for president on the anti-bourgeoisie ticket at UT. Do you remember that, Jerry, when I was Bo on UT's campus?
Fix your mic, Tony.
Jerry, do you remember when I was Bo on UT's campus of the anti-bourgeoisie party?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. I ran for school president. Somebody just asked me about it on Twitter, and I
Volstorm told me a story. No, it was
did?
Bear. Bear told me a story one time.
I was
about
laying
that.
There. Jack Reese was the dean. I think he was something with the students. Anyway, he did a debate, and I was handcuffed to one of those old heating elements. They had like a handcuff through the coil. And they had me in handcuffs, and when they had time for me to answer a question, I was like talking. They would bring the mic over to me and have to hand me the mic, and somebody have to hold it for me because I was answering. Anyway, our platform was to get better seats for students in the arena. And
somebody says that you were going down the aisles at Thompson Bowling.
Can you
elaborate on that?
I got taken out by the police, and that was the first weekend that I met my wife's mother. My girlfriend's mother at the time, and she was like, didn't I see you earlier tonight? And I was like, no, I don't think so. We met outside the game. Didn't I see you earlier in the arena? And no, I don't think that was me.
Was it part of your platform that you suggested building a ski?
No.
That was not you.
Confused, Bo. No, they confused me with somebody else, but that was Butch Jones. Let's get our next call in. He was going to build his ski lift brick by brick to the hill.
Tony B?
Yeah, Jerry?
A future head coach He just called a play to tie the game up, 7-7.
And who would that
USC,
be?
T. Martin.
Jerry, do you from a fan standpoint, and you obviously are probably a lot closer with T. Martin than I will have ever hoped to have been. Do you, in your honest professional opinion, think that T. Martin is ready for this job, knowing that he hasn't been a head coach?
Yeah, Alex, I think that's totally overblown. Here's why. What happens a lot of times is you have two types of head coaches. You have one that is a figurehead, and they leave it to both coordinators to basically co-coach the teams. That's one type of head coach. The other type of head coach is an involved coach from whatever side that they specialize in, offense or defense. This guy here, Coach Helton is almost like a figurehead, right? So basically, T. Martin is almost like a co-head coach. He runs that offense. That's his offense. So you got to think about this. The guys that they have been putting in the league and just their efficiency, they've been developing quarterbacks over the last 3-4 seasons. That's all T. Martin. And people forget, too, from a recruiting standpoint, he's constantly bringing guys in there. When he was in Atlanta before, I think he took this job, T ran his dual threat camp out of Atlanta. That's how he actually found Josh Dobbs. People didn't know that. But so to me, when you look at all those things that he's done just over the course of time, he's a regional name, especially in the Southeast. Just his accolades. Now, I do think something needs to be fixed with he and Peyton. Peyton needs to back him, because I'm telling you, if you're looking at guys who are coordinators, kind of like a Coach Former who can walk right in and hit the ground running, to me, he's your number one candidate. Why not him? He's proven it, and he's done it at one, you know, probably one of the top 5 or 6 programs in the whole country. So, you know, if you're looking at that coordinator position and, you know, to elevate a guy up to head coach, I say he's coach number one that you got to take a strong look at. Now, again, Peyton's got to back him. And that relationship between the two of them, that's got to be there as well.
Do they have heat, Jerry? Do they have heat with each other?
What'd you say?
Do those two guys have heat with each other, or are they cool with each other? Because it's kind of been rumored that they kind of have heat with each other.
Yeah, Tony, I don't think it's beef necessarily, more so than competition, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Well, no, I'm asking you, like, okay, so they competed as kids, and I understand that they competed as kids. This is a lot of water under the bridge here, Jer.
Yeah, so is it beef? No, it's not beef. It's just competition. So you have to fully embrace the guy that you at one point competed with. Remember, Tony, and people think this stuff is little. It's not little. Remember the Orange Bowl game. Peyton can't hardly finish the season. What was that? His Heisman run year.
Yep.
His senior year when he had the bursa sack injury. Yep. The last 3 or 4 games.
97.
And yeah. Now as a graduate assistant, I'm going, man, like, why won't they sit this guy? This guy's got his knee is as big as a bucket. Like, please sit him the last couple. But I thought they really tried to boost his numbers so that he stayed in the Heisman race. But at the same time, what it did was it held back his progress as far as getting healed up. And also, too, that might have been an opportunity where you could have played T to get him some quality reps in there against teams that you know you could have beat, especially with that 97 team. And so then fast forward to our bowl game, the Orange Bowl, Peyton still wasn't ready. A lot of people thought, hey, why not start T this game? Why not start T this game and just
let Peyton ride off into the sunset. No one wants a guy to be unhealthy going into the draft, especially. And it's just little stuff like that, which I feel you have to have everyone on board with one another and just kind of make sure everyone's in full support. And, you know, you have to go from, okay, I competed against this person to, okay, everything that I care about, I'm going to leave it in the hands of this guy. And if I'm Peyton, look back on it, hey, man, like, this guy did take care of this program. In 97 or 98.
That's really interesting, Jerry.
In 99.
That you gave me that they have heat. That's something to overcome. Let's get let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, is that me?
Yeah, go right ahead. Garzelaw, fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, Tony, appreciate you staying on late. Hey, you know what's going on over YouTube better than, like, almost anybody, so let me flashback, and could you give me the insight on why Small Mike or Cosby Cattleman or whatever his name is has this love affair with Lane Kiffin? Did he do something perverse to him?
I don't know.
Like he did to the co-eds? Because it is so unnatural.
That's weird. I don't know. To take your one call you get through from your band, which stays in place, by the way.
Thank goodness. Please.
Don't worry. He's not calling the show. He's not. He's uninvited. But it's so pathetic of him to have to come through. And then to do that in your one-band call, are you going to why would I apologize to Lane? Lane Kiffin was a serial philanderer, and his wife had enough of it, and he was running around with co-eds, and he wore out his welcome in Alabama doing the same things. And I would say it right to Lane Kiffin's face. He conducted himself in a disgraceful manner when he was here the first time around.
And he was disloyal to us, and he went to USC and was a failure.
Right. He was a complete failure at USC. He would be an interesting hire here, though. If I get down to that tree, that third tree of candidates, I would almost consider him simply because I think he could recruit here, and I think having the blessing of Nick and the rub of Nick, and I'd like to think that maybe he's grown up a little bit. But again, if you're asking me, am I taking Lane Kiffin? Like he's like, would you coconut? Listen, he's not my first choice. He's not my second choice, third choice, but he's not even, he's like 20, 30, maybe he's like 30s. Like you gotta get way down there for me to get desperate enough for Lane Kiffin. I'll tell you this, Tony, would you rather have Lane Kiffin next year or Butch Jones? Hell, I would take me as head coach over Butch Jones. I'm telling you right now, if Butch Jones coaches here next year, I'm leaving. I'm done. I'm moving. I'm gone. I'm serious. I'm not doing this.
If we get down to that, I mean, obviously you go after a Chip Kelly or the A-list people. But if we get down to the second tier, and he's not even third tier, he's second tier because he doesn't have any head coaching experience. But I agree with Jerry. Why not T. Martin?
Why not?
I mean, the guy can recruit. No doubt. No question about that. He's been one of the best top five recruiters and assistant coaches in the country in the last
My problem with him. He's got a quarterback right now who's really struggling to find himself, and he's not playing well. And that offense is not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Jerry, you have any thoughts on that? I mean, I don't mind hiring a guy, but he's got to have some success if I'm going to hire him. And they're not doing real well, Jerry.
Tony. His quarterback is going to probably be in the first.
Jerry, I don't care where he's drafted. He's not playing well on the college football field this year. You're not. Something's not computing. There's a story
with Tony.
Go ahead,
Tony. You wouldn't either if you lost Marquise Lee, Tyrone Woods, and the guy that's down at the Titans. It's not the same team as they had
the
last two seasons.
Point well taken. But the kid is struggling this year.
Yeah. Oh, no question. But they're an offensive juggernaut. They can move the football easily on anyone. He's going to have another top-round pick come from his offense in the top five. And this kid, the running back, I'll forget his name all the time. He'll be another high-round draft pick as well. You can't – Tony, here's the thing. I've seen a million coaches coach talented kids, and they just can't handle it. I've seen that a million times. And here's a situation where – a guy who supposedly hasn't been a coordinator before, he walks into a situation where There's a ton of talent at USC. And guess what? Those kids are playing offensive football like you wouldn't believe the last three or four seasons under his tutelage. He could have blown that situation, right? So to me, you have to take a strong look at him. You know, if you're talking about bringing in a coordinator type, and you think about the kids from Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina, you know all those kids that know T. Martin's name? Are you kidding me? And somebody like that, he could easily bring in Jim Bob. Jim Bob Cooter would leave, to me, I think he would leave his job at Detroit to come back home and coach with
as an offensive coordinator. He would leave a job in the NFL to come to college football?
You're damn right.
Jerry.
Marion Hobby.
Now, come on.
Marion Hobby would, for T. Martin, Tony, T. Martin's an icon at Tennessee. Those guys, like, would you rather be at the Detroit Lions, you know, three teams behind the Green Bay Packers every season, you know, wondering if you're going to be there in 2 years, or would you rather be back at Tennessee for the longevity, coaching with T. Martin, Marion Hobby, guys like that that you know, it just means more, and they're gonna be
look,
there for,
I love your sentiment, but that's not how the real world works. That guy is a coordinator in that league. He's going to be a head coach in that league, speaking of Jim Bob Cooter. And I don't understand it. I don't understand what you mean by that, because that doesn't compute. Eric, you wanted to say something?
I actually said that he might want to start his clock over, but by taking a new job, because the Lions' job is always a dangerous one to have.
There's no question. That's true. But they're
that's
very
exactly
good on,
what I'm talking
but
about.
But they're good on offense. Jerry. Eric from South Georgia is a little concerned about that omega-3, that triple shot you had. He thinks he might have overdone it, man. You've got a little too much stimulation going on in your brain. And I've been there before, Jerry. Sometimes my brain feels so good, I feel like I can reach up and scratch it.
Tony, now remember this. Now, you have yourself talked about just how football today, they've really gone away from creating the mega staff, right? So now in today's coaching, you know, everyone wants to be a head coach, but why not take that approach to what we've had here before? When you had David Cutcliffe, who was a coordinator, when you had Phil Fulmer, who was a coordinator, and then on the opposite side of him, somebody like a John Chavis. To me, I like Jim Bob Cooter, but I would be highly surprised if Jim Bob Cooter ended up as the head coach in the NFL. Now, he might be a coordinator, but you have to go, okay, Jim Bob, would you rather be on a struggling franchise where you don't know if you're going to have that job every other season, or would you be back at Tennessee? I guarantee you he would say, man, take me back home if you can put me with a competent head coach that's going to compete in the SEC East. Tony, I guarantee you he would come back. And with somebody like a T. Martin, I don't think he would blink. I really don't.
Let's go to the phones. I mean, I'm sorry. We already have a caller on. Caller, finish up here.
Okay, Tony. Hey, I was wondering, how does the Haslams, I know one of them is the governor, but I don't think he cares that much about football. Do they give that much money that they're that important? Where do they get this power? Where's their source of power?
They're billionaires, and yes, they give that much money.
He who has the most toys,
who has the most stroke, goes the most pull, and that's that.
But can't he just let you know, give us a little break and let Peyton or somebody else make a decision?
No, they love control, man. Jerry's old mentor in the NFL, Mike Holmgren, was there for a cup of coffee, and it was not a pretty thing behind the scenes. He did not respond to it. Let's just put it that way. Mike Holmgren, and he said, get me out of here. Because Mike Holmgren is not going to be dictated to by some NFL owner. And that's what you have there.
So what's our solution?
Do what?
What's our solution? I mean, how do we...
There is no solution until you can get him out of the way.
So what do we do as fans?
I don't know. I guess make your voice heard. I don't know. I'm the only one who will talk about it, so apparently it's off limits. But it's the big elephant in the room, and nobody will talk about it and, you know, and just be concerned. You know, it is what it is.
None of these talk shows talk about the real issues, do they?
No.
They sugarcoat everything.
They're afraid.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I can't listen to anybody.
Yeah, and I can't do it because where I come from, talk radio, you speak truth to power. Media speaks truth to power. And you do what you do.
They talk about the negativity of the fans and you know, in this market.
Yeah.
But you go to Nashville, you got people like you. Clay Travels will tell it like it is. I know other markets got people like you, don't they? You're the only person in this market that speaks, you know.
Jason Swain does as well. The problem is most people think what Eric Ainge is doing is media here. And most people don't like me, so it is what it is. I don't care if it's to be liked or not liked, but it is what it is. So
I can't listen to Ainge. I can't listen to any of them but you. All the rest of them make me mad. I love you, Tony, though. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Appreciate you saying that. And I'm not here for people to suck up to me. It is what it is. But, I mean, people like you, don't like you. They listen. They just – a lot of people don't get me. And my whole thing is I'm just going to call it like I see it. And if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. I gave Butch Jones a good level shot, and he is a goofball. Let's go back to our phones. Let's get our next call in. And I only have time for a couple more calls because I'm exhausted. Hello to our next caller.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, thanks. Hey, you know, I'm like everybody's been talking about. On that last play, you got 1 second. You got to give the ball to Kelly. Been in and out listening to the program, but have y'all discussed the fact that they got steel shots that you can pick up on message boards? That pass wasn't broken up. Brandon Johnson dropped the pass right in his hands.
Brandon Johnson dropped the pass right in his hands there at the end of the game.
On the last play, yes, sir. They got the steel shots. The Florida guy never touched it, and they got a shot, and Brandon's got his bottom hand and his top hand on that ball.
South Carolina
and then the
next player.
Frame shows it going on through his hands.
I didn't see that.
Well, I know. A lot of folks say, well, I didn't see that. And then they go, oh, yeah, okay, I've looked at it. You're right. It's there.
They should have run Kelly. That's your ask.
Yeah, they should have. I mean, no doubt. But that's two SEC games that you lose when you drop touchdown passes. We up two against Florida. We dropped one tonight. It's, you know, who's – I mean, I know we got a young wide receiver coach, but I don't know. Of course, when it comes to receiving, Jerry knows more than anybody, but you either can catch or you can't catch, but there's got to be some way to improve. I mean, you know,
Jerry, you think yelling math problems at receivers is helping them, Jerry, based on what you've seen so far? And how do you improve the hands of a receiver, Jerry?
It's a very odd thing, Tony. They, you know, they seem to on balls that are questionable balls that are not thrown exactly on the money. You know, you should win at least half of those. That's just being a top flight collegiate wide receiver. I mean, how many times have you seen Andy Kelly throw a bad ball and Alvin Harper or Carl Pickens, you know, if they were a top flight wide receiver, how many times did you see them make up for the inaccuracy or a poorly thrown ball? They just caught it. Then they might not have caught it on the run, but they caught the ball. And you just don't see – you just don't see these wide receivers do that a lot where, be it if it's Dormady in the game or Garantano, you know, they just make up for those balls that are in that range of being catchable, and they just don't come down with it. It is disappointing because especially on a team like this, where we have a young team.
Need a big play.
And you have – well, you're not getting touchdowns from the kick return game, not getting touchdowns from, say – pick sixes or strip sack fumbles, return for touchdowns. Those guys have to catch some of those balls to keep the chains moving, so that, you know, you're sticking the ball in end zone more. because all these field goals that we're accumulating on offense, that just ain't going to cut it, Tone.
Jerry, correct me if I'm wrong, but to me it seems is the wide receiver position, when you talk specifically not about athleticism, not about speed, height, weight, whatever, just their hands. To me, you can work on your hands. You could do tennis balls. You could do certain things that help you in practice to get your hands a little bit better. But to me, what I've seen at the high school level, at the college level, it seems like certain guys just are naturally better pass catchers. They have better hands naturally. To a certain extent, is there a